Hi, everybody. This is Adam Davidson at www.radamdavidson.com. I'm going to be reading today from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. This is the gospel reading assigned to Sunday, August 3rd, 2014. And it's a very familiar passage. It's the feeding of the 5,000, or if you will, the 5,000. This is the word of the Lord, Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. Here we go. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. That's Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now, I have been thinking about this all week, getting ready for the sermon, which from this recording vantage point will be tomorrow. It's going to be about 12 hours from now. We'll launch into the sermon for this passage of Matthew 14, from Matthew 14. But just a couple questions I have for the text. Number one, we have this sort of opening line where Jesus is withdrawing to get away from it all. And we assume that, you know, when Matthew says that Jesus heard what had happened, the thing that Matthew is referring to is Jesus getting the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded, that he'd been killed. And that, that's a very sad word. I mean, it's just amazing to me that Jesus is going off by himself to get away from all of this. And we assume that he's doing it to process all of it, or to pray about it, or to mourn. He's fully God, he's fully man. The scripture says he was tempted in every way, and I think this little passage here, this little section, tells us that Jesus knows what it is to have to get away from it all. He knows what it's like to just have to vacate for a little while. Now, the scripture says that he withdrew by boat privately, so he got into a boat by himself, and he takes it out along the shore of the lake. And as he's traveling along in the water, the crowd hears that he's on the move and follows him on foot. So imagine the crowd sort of walking the perimeter of the lake, wherever Jesus is going, they're walking along. And finally, Jesus lands on a different beach entirely from the one he took off from, and the people are there. They have been walking faster than he has been trolling. And Jesus sees these people, and the scripture says that he sees a large crowd, has compassion on them, and healed their sick. I've been thinking about the compassion that Jesus has for us, that he's obviously in the boat to get away from a crowd. He doesn't want to be around people right now. He knows that his resources need to be focused on mourning the loss of John the Baptist, and he is intentionally getting away from the people by jumping in a boat by himself in the lake. It's about as alone as you can get. And the people don't leave him alone. They follow him, and they track with him. And Jesus shows up on the other shore, and instead of going, "Ugh," and rolling his eyes, as I would probably do, he has compassion on them. He sees a crowd, not just a few people, but a large crowd, which to him could mean a large number of people who were looking for Jesus and the resources of Jesus. And Jesus, instead of saying, "Not right now, guys," or, you know, instead of saying, "You know, can we just do this tomorrow?" or "Come on, I've suffered a loss. John the Baptist is dead." He doesn't say that to them. The scripture says that he has compassion on them and that he healed their sick. And I think of that sort of like coming home from a long day at the office and your resources are tapped. You've had a long, arduous day. You get home, you pull into the driveway, and there are the kids. I see my boys, Mac and Zach, and they're smiling and they're waving and they're happy to see me, and they ride their bike up to the truck and run it into the bumper of the truck, and I get out of the truck and they yell, "Daddy!" And they don't care what kind of day I've had. They don't care what conversations I've had or what resources have been drawn from me. They don't care how tired I am because they don't know me like that. They just know me as Dad. They just know me as one who will always love them and always be there for them. And I have to them these unlimited resources. Even when I say to them I'm tired, they say, "No, you're not. Get up." And I do. I get back up. They give me unlimited resources. It's that compassion that Jesus has for the crowd. It's on a smaller scale. That's what I feel like when I see the boys, and I've had a long day, and I don't want to, but I do because I love them. I see the excitement in their eyes. I see that they want to see me. I want to see them. It sort of gives me this burst of energy because I love my kids. I love them. And you know, I'm tired, but if they say, "Let's, you know, kick the soccer ball around. Hey, help me ride my bike. Hey, let's build a robot." Guess what? I've got energy to do it. Even if I didn't have energy to do it, I've got energy to do it. Jesus is the same way in this story as he is today, in that he will never grow tired of us. He will never roll his eyes at us. He will never be in a place where he just says, "Come on, man, not today." I think sometimes we're afraid that he'll be like that. I think sometimes we're apprehensive about bringing things to Jesus, or maybe we sort of project on him our own exhaustion. Maybe we do that. You know, maybe we expect Jesus to be like us a little too much sometimes. And so we assume that he's going to kind of be tired. And so we bring that to him, when what we should be doing is chasing him along the lake and going wherever he goes, and meeting him wherever he is, and bringing ourselves fully to him. "Here I am. Hey, hi, I followed you all the way over here. Hey, my friend here is sick. He needs you. Hey, my mom here is deathly ill. She needs you. Hey, my son, my daughter, she's been ill for months, and I believe that you're the one that can fix it. We've done everything else, so I've brought her to you, Jesus." Are you too tired? No, you're not? Oh, thank you. And so obviously, this created a scene. I mean, if Jesus is healing and bringing about the medical miracles that some of these people have been waiting for, some of them all of their lives, a crowd's going to grow. And so people kept coming. And people did not leave. I mean, they wanted to be in this environment of healing. And they really ultimately wanted to be around Jesus because he's the compassionate creator of the universe. And before you know it, the sun starts to set. And the disciples come to him and they say, "You know, these people have been around for a little too long. And we probably ought to send them home because we don't want to have a riot on our hands. We want them to go eat, because if they start to get hungry and they realize that they're not anywhere near a food source, they're going to kind of flip out." And so the disciples, level-headed as they are, business-minded and organizationally savvy as they have become after following Jesus for so long, the disciples say to Jesus, "Hey, just so you know, I mean, I know you're miraculously healing the sick and everything, but there's not a Wendy's here. And I don't know if you knew that or not, Lord, but we need to send them away so they can go to the villages, so they can get to the rest stop that actually has the food places. So maybe, Jesus, this could be your last healing. And then maybe you could just kind of make an announcement or something. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you what to do. You probably need to send them away." And Jesus says, "They don't need to go away. In fact, what they need is for you to give them something to eat." Jesus says, "I know they're hungry. Why don't you feed them?" And then the disciples, being business savvy and organizationally minded, take inventory. They take inventory on what they have. And the disciples say, "You know, we've taken inventory and we've discovered, in fact, Jesus, we've already worked through this, just so you know, but anyway, we have discovered that we have a total of 5 loaves of bread and a total of 2 fish." Now, that's supposed to have added the cartoon horns. Wah, wah. That's supposed to have the sound, the disappointed trumpet. You know what I mean when I say that? The wah, wah. We don't have 500 loaves. We don't have 5,000 loaves. We don't have a million fish. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wah, wah. That's like saying, the total is $400. Well, I've got 2 buttons and a nickel. Wah, wah. Like that. It's kind of like that. So the disciples, I think they're being kind of smart alecky, actually. But what do I know? I know something about being smart alecky. But anyway, Jesus says, no problem. Bring those resources to me. Bring me the 5 loaves. Bring me the 2 fish. Bring them over. Bring them over. And so the boys do. And they bring to Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish, maybe with their eyes squinting a little bit, and maybe they're thinking, what in the world is he going to do? And this is what Jesus does. He takes the 5 loaves, 2 fish, sets them aside, these 7 food items that are going to feed thousands and thousands of people that are here and who are experiencing healing and the compassion of God. And he directs the people to sit down on the grass. Sit down, everybody. Go ahead and take a seat. Go ahead and just set up your own picnic area. And we're going to go ahead and get you some food here, so everybody hang tight. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven, which is language that means he is talking to his heavenly Father. He gives thanks to God. He says, thank you, Father, for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Please note that Jesus does not say, you know, Father, it would have been great if we had a few more loaves and fishes, or, you know, Father, it would have been great for me to have a little bit more time alone. That's not what he does at all. He lifts up his eyes, looks to heaven, gives thanks, and breaks the loaves, gives the loaves to his disciples, and then the disciples in turn disperse them to the people. And they ate all of the food they could eat until they were satisfied. Jesus called for seconds, and people came back for seconds. You know, that group of people that, I never even ate lunch, so yeah, I guess I am kind of hungry. Or the kids on the growth spurt, the ones that can put away 10 hot dogs if you let them. They just kept coming and coming, and there was always more, always more, always more. And the disciples said, anybody else want some bread? I don't know where it's coming from, but we've got it. People were not hungry. People were full. People were satisfied. And so much so that they got too much. You know that sign at the buffet that says, take all you can eat, but eat all you take, or something like that. People had taken too much, just like they do at Old Country Buffet, just like they do at Golden Corral, just like they do at the Hibachi Sushi. They took a little bit too much food, and then they had food left over. And so Jesus sends the disciples to go around a basket in each of their hands and pick up the extra food. And the writer of this story, Matthew, says that about 5,000 men were fed besides women and children. Now, in that culture, men, women, and children would all eat in separate places. The men would eat in this area of the restaurant. Women and children would eat there. It was just part of the culture. And so Matthew gives us this census of the guys. Maybe he only had time to count the men. He said there were about 5,000 men. And you figure if every man has with him a wife and a child, we're talking a minimum of 15,000 people that were fed by 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Incredible. So I've been thinking about provision. Provision. Provision starts somewhere. God provides, but God provides according to his economy. And the economy of God is the economy of the kingdom. And so what I mean by this is that God provides according to the way God has always provided. He does the way that God provides is he gives us resources. He gives us the ability to make and to create and to grow and to nurture. He calls us to join him in the creation mandate and to be fruitful and multiply and to build houses and build cities. And he says, go and develop, go and plant, go and lead, go and create, make neighborhoods and communities. Go, go, go. I've given you everything you need. You want to build a house? See those trees? Make a saw, cut them up, build a house. You got it. Make sure you build the foundation right, etc., etc. This is how God does it. If you look in the New Testament in the book of Acts, the scripture says that the church came together and everybody shared with one another as they had need. This is the economy of the kingdom, that everybody shares as they have need, but that those items don't fall from heaven, that those items are already in somebody's hands. Somebody has the beginning of provision. It is God who multiplies, but it is God who also gives the source. You multiply from something. You don't multiply from nothing. 17 times 0, 0. 5 times 0, 0. 70,000 times 0, 0. God does not multiply from 0. He multiplies from something. Sometimes God multiplies from big. Sometimes God multiplies from small. But he always makes it work. But the thing is, in this story, provision starts somewhere. Provision starts with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God says, all right, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. If every person wants, is going to eat 1 loaf, we're going to just give them 1 loaf per person. Say the average was 0.7 loaves per person or something. We'll just make it 1 loaf per person. You're going to have to multiply that by 3,000. Because 5 loaves times 3,000 is 15,000 loaves. Well, that's no problem. Multiply it by 3,000. It's like setting a knob for him. It's 6 1/2. No problem. See, but the provision starts somewhere. God provides twice. In this story, God has made provision 2 times. The first time God made provision was when he made it so that somebody could have 5 loaves and 2 fish. God made it so that some grain would grow and so that someone would know how to turn that grain into bread. God made it so that the seas would be teeming with delicious swimming animals and so that someone would have the provision and the ability to catch that fish and to probably dry it out and turn it into food. And made it so that somebody woke up that morning with air in their lungs and a heart beating in their chest and a basket. And for some reason it crossed their mind, I'm going to bring 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know why. That's just what I'm going to do. And God made it so that that basket safely arrived, traveling from their home to this site that those fish and basket and bread were, loaves of bread were probably carried around the lake. Maybe they were dropped a few times, probably a little dusty from the environment. God first provided bread and a fish and fish. That's God's first provision. And then God provided the multiplier to make it so that it would go. God provides. God provides. Provision. Provision starts somewhere. Sometimes the way that God provides in our lives according to our basic needs is that he will start with an offering of something. He will start with something he's already provided, but it had to make the jump from that person's property to their hands. Emily just mentioned to me that the leftover baskets are probably indicative that we need to be careful not to waste what God has given to us. And I was thinking about how Jesus gives thanks for the bread. I mean, he breaks the bread and gives thanks to God the Father, and he, you know, goes from there. But you know, that thankfulness carries over into, you know, how we handle every bit of the resource God has given to us. So we can't waste what God has given. We can't sort of stuff the rest into a corner and say, ah, I've done enough for today. Ah, there's enough bread. Ah, there's a... Because God has given every morsel of bread for his purpose. Now, we'll zoom out a little bit and sort of apply it to our lives. Everything God has given to us is to be used according to his purpose, is to be used for his glory and for to share his love with the world. And, I mean, this is the way of the kingdom. There's no extra. There's no... Like, just bury it in the backyard. Or there's no hoarding of like, oh, this is mine. Like, the disciples go, and I don't know what they did with those 12 baskets. Did they use the crumbs to make a delicious pie crust? I have no clue. But that's an important detail that Matthew has written down for us, and so let's try to learn something from it. Yeah, okay. That's enough for right now.